Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburned, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
I've learned that Lauren is kind of a next level beyond carnivore, transcending carnivore, maybe like leveling up as a human after carnivore.
Recently, I did a 7-day dry fast.
That's incredible. Congratulations, too. 7 days.
I'm alive. I'm very much well and alive. I became fascinated with death, and I actually became aware that we shouldn't fear death. There's nothing to fear, and it's actually just as beautiful process as birth, as being born. Just what is life? Why are we here? And I got into such deep thinking that sort of set me off on my journey. I call it like my spiritual awakening.
Do you feel like after finding carnivore that your brain or mind sort of opened up to some of these other ideas, or kind of disconnecting from the matrix sort of thing?
I think since carnivore, my mind doesn't stop actually. So I literally question everything.
What sort of advice do you have for people? Maybe they just started carnivore. They want a next level. Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the power of a proper human diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, blessed to welcome my friend Lauren back to the channel. Lauren, how's it going?
Pretty good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So Lauren's got an incredible story. We filmed Lauren for our documentary, Healing Humanity. And been on my channel a couple times, starting with the 24-hour live stream. So I'll leave a link in the description below if you want to see Lauren's full story. But the purpose of today's video, I'm really excited for this because I do so many videos on just general carnivore. And interviewing Lauren and learning more about her journey, I've learned that Lauren is kind of a next level beyond carnivore, transcending carnivore maybe, like leveling up as a human after carnivore. You and there's a couple others that I've met, including our shared friend, Dr. Kiltz, who's just like next level.
Way
up there. Like so much I can learn from him, so much I'm learning from you. So I was hoping to share some of that with the audience today. Lauren's full story is incredible. You also have your own YouTube channel, which I'll link to at Farmer's Wife Farming Life. We'll have that in the description. But could you maybe just briefly tell us a little bit about what led you to carnivore, and then maybe we can jump into next level beyond carnivore?
Yeah, sure. So back in 2021, I became very poorly with a lump in my throat sensation. They called it LPR. I had all the tests. I had a camera put down, and they found out that I had grade A esophagitis. Anyway, I was having lots of trouble swallowing foods, lost a lot of weight. And I just found that when I was eating, I was reacting to lots of foods. I went back and forth to the doctors, got put on medication. None of that worked. I had all these tests done, and the doctors just said that basically there's nothing wrong with me. So it got to the point where I just got severely depressed, and I just didn't know what to do. And I just got to the point where I felt like I was on my own, and I just came to this realization that I have to sort this out for myself. Anyway, I went down the rabbit hole of lots of alternative therapies, and I went to see a nutritionist. She put me on a diet which cut me off of gluten and dairy, which did work initially. It did help a little bit. But she also put me on, she told me not to eat meat especially red meat. She told me because of the acid reflux and the problem I was getting with my esophagus to especially not eat the fat. So I did eat a little bit of meat. I ate lean meat like chicken, and I also had a little bit of salmon. And she was also very pro lots of vegetables, lots of grains to get the gut microbiome fed. So she said the more diverse, the more vegetables and fruits and things that I was eating, the better, because then the more diverse the gut microbiome would become. So I did that, and I went on this diet for a short period of time, which then led to horrific constipation. And I suffered with that for a little while, and bearing in mind I hadn't ever, that was never actually even an issue for me, but suddenly it was. And then that led to appendicitis, emergency appendicitis, and I had to have an operation to have my appendix removed. And after I had my appendix removed, it took me a little while to recover. I was in quite a poorly state, and I did go back to my nutritionist diet at the time. And again, I was just so depressed. I just got to the point, I just realized this diet wasn't even working, wasn't making me feel better. And it wasn't until one day that I was cooking my family a roast dinner, and I was cooking roast lamb, and I pulled the roast lamb out of the oven, and I just had this moment, let's say, where the smell and the look and everything about that lamb, I just had an urge, just a natural feeling that I should eat that, which then led me to search on Google, is eating meat really that bad for you? The first few things that came up, it was saying how bad meat was and we shouldn't eat meat, but I eventually scrolled down and at the bottom came across something to do with the carnivore diet. And I went on there, and that was the first time that I'd ever heard of it, never heard of the carnivore diet before. Clicked on there, and then I just fell down the rabbit hole then of then going onto YouTube. I found your video, your 30-day video, and then I found Dr. Ken Berry, all the others, Dr. Chafee, Lee Copus, and all these different people, and I thought, I've got to do that, that's for me, I have to do that. And I literally started the next day, and the rest is history. I've never looked back.
And like, it fixed so many things for you.
Yeah, so I said time and time before, but I didn't even realize like all these problems I'd have my whole life, I just thought were normal. And I didn't even realize until all these things started clearing up that they were symptoms. And I've honestly got a list as long as my arm of things that I suffered with. And they would all start clearing up, and I wouldn't even notice that they started clearing up. I'd be on like a YouTube video and be looking at comments, and then somebody would say, oh, my such and such cleared up, my tinnitus cleared up, and oh, my mouth ulcers have gone away, I no longer get rashes, and I'm looking at all these, and I'm like, oh, I had all of those, and I don't have any of those anymore. But I got to the point in my life where I just accepted that that was normal for being a human. A list as long as my arm of things that cleared up, so...
I love your story in particular, because it's just weird. You're on the other side of the globe, but so many of the issues you had, I had precise issues, and some weird ones too, like the, we call it Barrett's esophagus, but the gastritis or the esophagitis. I had that. I had my appendix burst on the operating room table. I had depression, anxiety, and like a million other issues, similar years. It's just, it's crazy. So that's awesome. So you found carnivore, you found healing. Like roughly how long ago was that you found carnivore?
2023, May. So coming up 2 years now.
2 years. Wow. So can we talk a little bit now about some of the next things? I find this with a lot of people, myself included, like I fixed my nutrition. All these things healed. The brain fog went away. I don't know if it's because the brain fog's gone or I'm thinking more clearly, but I start doing these other things that maybe return us kind of closer to what's natural for humans, like getting sunshine in the eyes and things like that. And then I want to talk about fasting too, but have you done other things outside of nutrition that you just like started adopting after doing carnivore?
Yeah, so I've done loads of things actually, but I found that carnivore really kicked off my interest in natural things in life. So grounding is one that I absolutely love doing. And I actually realized that I have naturally grounded my whole life. And I remember as a child, I would love to go outside with my shoes off. And I was constantly being told by my parents, go back in and get some shoes on. But I could walk across like stones. And my sisters would say to me, like, how are you walking bare feet across stones? But I just naturally always did that. Yeah, and I was just being told to go back in and get some shoes on, because I was weird. But when I look back on it, I think actually I naturally did these things as a child, and then as an adult you stop doing them, and now there is absolutely nothing I love more than it sounds really strange, but putting my bare feet in the grass or in the sand. I love the feeling. And so I definitely try and do that as much as I possibly can, even if it's wet. I think, I don't actually know the science behind it, but I think even if it's wet, it's supposed to be better for you for grounding. But yeah, that's definitely something that I've incorporated, that I can't personally say I've felt any benefits from it. I don't know. I might have, I don't know, but I personally just love the feeling of my bare feet being in the ground.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know if I did it as a kid, but after doing carnivore, I heard somewhere that getting natural sunlight in our eyes first thing is important. And then one of my things on carnivore is it's just like, I realized whatever we've done as humans since the start of time, that's like what's best. Just do that, right? It's so simple. And since the start of time, we probably had sunlight waking us up, not artificial light. So I started doing that. And when I would do it in the morning. And I'd like come out of bed and I just had my shoes off one time. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of nice. And then I started hearing about grounding. And I'm like, I thought it was crazy though. I'm like, okay, my foot's going to touch the ground and that's going to do something for me. But there is a lot of science around it, like some really good science. I've heard Professor Bart Kay talk about it before, but I don't know that much about the science, but like you, I feel good. I just like it. It feels natural. It feels good.
And I always go back to like animals, and you think animals are just constantly grounded. They don't wear shoes, and they're in constant contact with the earth. So why aren't we?
Right.
But it is. It's a natural state. It's a natural state that we should be in, but we just don't do that anymore. So I absolutely am a believer that it is beneficial for us. But I just naturally think it feels good anyway.
Do you feel like after finding carnivore that your brain or mind sort of opened up to some of these other ideas or thinking about life differently, kind of disconnecting from the matrix sort of thing?
Yeah, I think since carnivore, my mind doesn't stop actually. So I literally question everything. Anything that's ever told to me now, I always question it. And I just think, I don't know, I'll think about that. But definitely, but even before carnivore, when I went through my illness and when I went through my major depression, I went through a real stage of what is, and that sort of set me off my journey. And ever since then, I have just been growing and learning more and more and more. And I do. I question everything every day. But I went through this whole what is life, and then what is death. I became fascinated with death, and I actually became aware that we shouldn't fear death. It's nothing to fear, and it's actually just as beautiful process as birth, as being born. But the whole time I was going through all this in my head, I think I needed to be silent. I needed to be by myself. I needed to be in my own thoughts. And these thoughts all sort of came to me, and I kind of found the answers. But I'm still, as I'm going along now, I'm still on the journey, and I'm still learning every single day.
Quick interruption. Did you know we have an incredible membership site for you called healinghumanity.life? We have a special offer going on right now. Learn more at the link in the description. We have courses. We have expert Q&As with the good doctors. We even have a Healing Humanity Heroes Zoom call once a week, highlighting real heroes that will inspire you on a path to healing. The community is wonderful. We're going to be implementing a buddy system so you can be held accountable, recipes, all sorts of great stuff to help you on a path to healing. Learn more at the link in the description below.
But I just feel like I view life and death and all these different things in such a better way than previously. Like before being ill, death was always very scary to me. And when I had the anxiety, I just lived my life in fear. Everything was based around fear. Now I sort of have a positive spin on everything. So even if something is not quite going my way or not quite working out, I can look at that as that's happening for me. It's not happening to me. It's happening for me, for my growth. So everything bad that ever happens to anybody, to any of us, all happens for us, and there's a lesson to take from that and an opportunity for us to grow and get a step further from that. So, and I love that. I love that feeling. So it's a really nice way to look at life, even if something's not quite going your way, that you can go, oh, it's fine, I can deal with it because it's for me, it's happening for me. Everything that's happening to me is happening for me, and it's for my own growth.
Quick interruption. Did you know we have an incredible membership site for you called healinghumanity.life? We have a special offer going on right now. Learn more at the link in the description. We have courses. We have expert Q&As with the good doctors. We even have a Healing Humanity Heroes Zoom call once a week, highlighting real heroes that will inspire you on a path to healing. The community is wonderful, recipes, all sorts of great stuff to help you on a path to healing. Learn more at the link in the description below.
And living your life in faith over fear is just a completely different story altogether. And it just feels so good. And I am so grateful that I do not live my life in fear anymore.
That's amazing. It's so incredible, because when I interviewed you for the documentary, you started touching on some of these things. And right around the same time as you, I started coming to similar realizations. For me, it was, I lost my good friend, Jeff DeProsperous, to stage 4 cancer. And it was really tough. And my friend Bill recommended a book. And the book was called Embraced by Light. And the book talks about a lot of things that you, Lauren, just touched on. The book talks about humans as eternal beings, and that we're here in life to further ourselves as eternal beings, and that we embrace the bad and the good, because that is what takes us to sort of the next level. The book also, the woman that wrote the book, she died and she was resuscitated, and she described death as like one of the most beautiful, amazing things ever. And then I went down this rabbit hole of learning more about like near-death experiences and things like that. And so it's just so interesting when I interviewed you and you started talking about this, because I had just scratched the surface of it myself and came to the same realization, which really helped me, that I don't fear death at all anymore. And just like you, I did my whole life. I was just riddled with anxiety. And what is anxiety? It's basically fear of everything, but ultimately fear of death. But I have none of it anymore. And it's like almost like carnivore, where you feel so much better on carnivore. You want other people to know about it in a similar way. You like want other people to know about, like, life is so, like, I feel like I'm living for the first time. Whereas before I was just a shell, just walking around scared all the time. It's so much better when you're living life without any fear whatsoever.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you just come to this? Like you said, you were thinking about it a lot, but did you just kind of come to it yourself? Because I don't know that I would have figured it out without that book.
Yeah. So no, this, and I didn't even realize at the time what was going on, but I naturally went through it all by myself. And I am a believer that I am, like, so this what happened to me was a spiritual awakening. But I had no idea. I didn't even know that was a thing. I, again, just like everything, I had no idea that even existed or was a thing. I naturally went through all these processes in my head. I just became so obsessed with why we are living, like what is the point? What is the point in life? To the point where I was Googling, like, why are we here? What is the point in life? And I wanted to see everybody's point of view on why they think we're here. What is this? And I just got into such deep thoughts of why, what is the point in all of this? Like, because if you really think about it, we are just a speck in this huge universe. We are just a tiny little speck. And when I think you can think too much about anything, but when you really think about it, you do get to the point where you're like, what is the point of all this? Like, why are we here? And then I did the same with death. And then, like you, I got a bit obsessed with near-death experiences. So then I would be on YouTube and watching everybody's accounts of near-death experiences. And nearly everybody's near-death experience was almost identical, which made me really believe that that is what happens when you pass over and go to the other side. There are slight variations in different stories, but most people's accounts are pretty much the same when you get to the basics, that it is pure love and it's just the most beautiful experience they've ever had, and that they actually don't want to come back. And lots of people say that there's a voice that says you must go back now, and they actually put on a fight and say no, I don't want to go back because it's so beautiful and peaceful and just filled with unconditional love here. And everybody seems to have that in common in their near-death experience. But I definitely started thinking about that all by myself. It didn't take a book or anything. That all naturally sparked within me whilst I was going through this deep depression. It wasn't until I actually came across a YouTube video. I believe that as well, that everything comes to you when you need it. So I believe that the carnivore diet came to me when I needed it. And same with this YouTube video. So I stumbled across this YouTube video, which was all about spiritual awakening. And it was something like, oh, 10 signs you know you're going through a spiritual awakening. And I watched that video. And then I was like, oh, this is what's happening to me. I'm going through a spiritual awakening. But like I said, I didn't even know that was a thing before. I didn't even know what the term spiritual awakening was. I'd never even heard of it. But this video sort of brought it to light for me. And then I realized that's exactly what's going on with me. And I'm having this awakening, which at the time can actually feel quite lonely, because everybody else around you is a bit like being out of the matrix, you know, with the carnivore diet. But I was the only one that was awakening, and all my family and everybody around me had no idea what was going on. And if you try and explain that to somebody, you sound like a crazy old bat. So you keep it quiet. And at the time, it can feel very lonely because you just keep it quiet because you don't want to sound crazy. And everybody else around you is not going through it. And it's just something that's happening to you personally. But I think the longer you're in it, the longer you're in the journey, and the longer that I'm learning, the more I'm at peace with it. And the more I feel more connected spiritually. And I'm completely at peace with it now. And I feel like I've just ascended and grown quite a lot. Mm. And as a result, completely changed my outlook on life.
So much of what you're saying is just incredible. The near-death experience and the unconditional, beautiful love that those people experience, it's like we can't even understand it, I think, with our brains here as humans. I've heard it described exactly like you did so many times. And the thing that really convinced me was I realized that everything I foolishly feared throughout my life, every single thing, it was like a waste of time to fear it. And the best stuff in life was on the other side of that fear. Like people fear public speaking. Now I'm doing all these meetups. It's amazing. Like, it's awesome. You're connecting with these people. You're terrified of speaking, and then you do it, and it's incredible. Meeting my wife, like going up and talking to a girl, like everyone's so scared of doing that. Now I'm married and I have children. It was like the most beautiful, amazing thing in the world, but I was so scared to do it. So I started thinking about this more. I'm like, why would death be any different? We fear death as humanity more than anything else. So if it followed suit like everything else, it would stand to reason that it would be the most amazing, incredible thing that we can't even comprehend based on the amount of fear we have going into it. So that was something that kind of really made me think about this more. The other thing that you were saying in terms of the spiritual awakening and then kind of feeling lonely, it was so interesting that you just said that. Last night, the girls and I have been going to the gym for 30 days. And then on the ride back, it's like a half an hour ride back. Let's try to improve our minds. So I was listening to this thing on wisdom last night. And I think it was from a Buddhist. And he was talking about becoming enlightened. And he said, when individuals become enlightened, they feel very kind of siloed or alone. Just like it was exactly like you just said, because everyone else around them, just they don't understand it. And they can't understand it unless they experience it. You can't really describe it to them. It got me thinking too, it's similar in some ways. Maybe you have some good practice at this, because it's kind of similar a little bit like carnivore. You do carnivore, and you feel incredible, and you try to explain it to people, like what it's like to live without brain fog. And most of them don't understand it unless they disconnect from the matrix themselves and experience it. It's just like, it's like a level up from that sort of thing, I guess.
That's where it's really difficult, though, because you can't even begin to try and explain it to somebody that hasn't been through it or going through it. You honestly just sound like you're crazy.
Right.
So half the time I just don't even talk about it. But a great breakthrough for me, though, going back to talking about feeling lonely, is in the beginning I did feel a bit like I was alone and it was only happening to me and not to anybody else. But as time has gone on, I have really learned to actually love being by myself. And that's a real positive for me, because I'm at peace with who I am and I'm happy to spend time alone with myself. Whereas before, I was such a needy person and the thought of being on my own was very scary and I feared it. I did fear it. And I always felt like I had to have people around me. I had to be with people. Now I absolutely embrace being on my own. Being on my own, I just absolutely love. And it's like time to myself. And I always use that time to reflect. But I just feel comfortable with who I am. I feel at peace with who I am. And I think this is like the goal that we are supposed to get to. I think that this is where we're all supposed to go. I think we all, at the end of the day, the point is that we are supposed to love ourselves unconditionally, and that's what we're all learning. That's the goal. And I feel like I'm getting closer and closer to that goal all the time, because, yeah, I just, being with myself now, I just don't fear it, and I love being by myself. And sometimes I could actually choose to be by myself than be with other people, and I can just sit in silence and things will come to me. Everyone has different versions of what meditation is, but for me, meditation is just sitting in silence and just letting thoughts come and go, and just being with myself and love being with myself. And I really do believe that's the level we're all supposed to get at. I think that is the ultimate goal, that we should all be loving ourselves unconditionally.
It's incredible that you're saying that too, because the podcast I was listening to last night about enlightenment, I think it was saying there's kind of two things when you become enlightened. And one of them was to be content and basically want for nothing in the world. And the second one was to be okay being by yourself. Like being happy, it was like exactly what you just said there.
It's true. It's so true. Honestly, if you'd known me a few years ago, like my husband can't quite believe it, because I literally am a completely new person to who he married 7 years ago. I'm not that person at all. Going from somebody who was really needy, company and attention all the time, to now suddenly being somebody who I don't care less if anybody's here or not. Like I'm completely fine on my own. And I really do. I just think that is the ultimate goal for everybody. And again, with that, I can't explain the feeling, but that inner peace and that comfort of just being fine with who you are and being completely content by yourself. I said to my husband back along, I said, not in a horrible way, but I said, I honestly feel if humanity got wiped out tomorrow, I'd be fine. Because I'm fine on my own. I'm completely, I can't explain it, but I'm just so fulfilled and just completely content by being by myself. And I really do think that is our ultimate goal, is to get to that point.
Would you say that at this point in your life, you are happier, more content, more fulfilled than you've ever been your entire life?
Yeah, definitely. And just having different awarenesses, like going back to like not wanting for anything. I think like we're all programmed by the matrix that we should have these nice things. You compare yourself to other people. Oh, they've got this and I haven't. And that's how we're programmed. And it's almost like a competition. But again, when you boil it all down, you look into it, we all came with nothing and we all go out with nothing. We're all equal. There's no competition. We're all exactly the same. We should all just love each other. And I really do think that we should treat people how we wish to be treated, and what we give, we get back. I think like attracts like, and what we emit is what we attract. So I just think if you're wishing well on somebody, you will get that back yourself, and vice versa. If you're not being very nice, or you're thinking negative thoughts about somebody, you're only doing harm to yourself, because like attracts like, and that will just eventually come round back onto you. But I just think this complete different awareness of actually, like in the matrix, we have been led to believe that we need the best of everything, and we need, and just your whole life, you're sort of working towards, oh, you must have this really nice car. You must have, none of that matters. It doesn't matter. I think this is all just stuff that I've learned as I've gone on. I've still got lots more to learn. I'm still on this journey, and I love being on this journey. And I thank God every day that I'm on this journey, because I just think it's incredible, and I feel grateful to be on the journey.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like we were saying earlier, it's so much better living life without fear, but also embracing it. Like something bad happens, great. Every single thing that is bad that ever happened to me had a purpose, and it's so much nicer living that way and knowing that it's just fearless. Like you're really living life for the full time, for the first time. And most people, unfortunately, most people aren't doing that, but hopefully more will. Mm-hmm. What sort of advice do you have for people? Maybe they just started carnivore. They want a next level. Like, is there meditation or a book, or like what can people do that are still living their life maybe with fear or anxiety?
Well, I just think honestly, and going back to anything natural does us no harm at all. So going back to earlier saying that I was doing grounding, and I also, like you, started to get the natural light in my eyes. So I would always just wake up in the morning and turn my phone straight on and be on my phone. But now at nighttime, my phone goes on airplane mode as soon as I go to bed. And I always wear blue light blocker glasses in the evening as well, so I don't have any of the blue light. And it definitely does help. Because I don't like the fact that our lives are on our phones, but most of us, we do rely on our phones. It is like our jobs are on there. It's our connections. You know, we do use our phones, as much as I don't like that. But I think if you're using your phone and you have your blue light blockers on, it definitely helps me wind down. And I find that I'm tired a lot earlier than what I would be if I didn't wear my blue light blocker glasses. But like things like my bedroom blind, I used to put my blind down every night, but now I just leave it open, so that when the light comes through in the morning, you awaken And I definitely don't turn my phone on in the morning now. As soon as I wake up, I go straight to the window. I don't always get outside. I do try if I can, but sometimes it's just not, with three young kids, it's just not practical. So I will just go over to the window, just get the light in my eyes. And also something that's really, really helped me is just completely limiting the use of my chemicals. So I make all of my home cleaning products. I make all of my like moisturizing. I use beef tallow on my skin and coconut oil. I make my own lip balms, and it's all completely natural ingredients. I don't put anything on my body that I wouldn't actually ingest. If I wouldn't ingest it, I'm not going to put it on my body. Because they do say that our skin is the largest organ, and whatever we're putting on our skin is just being soaked up. So that's just as good as eating it. But I've really found that to be really helpful, to just completely limit the use of all chemicals. I used to spray myself in perfume, and I just think, oh God, now I smell perfume, or I smell aftershave, and it smells so chemical. And I think at the time, like when you're using it, or you're used to that. But now when you don't use chemicals, and then you suddenly smell it, and you think, God, you're just dousing yourself in perfume. Not only is your skin absorbing it all, but you're breathing that in all day. You're smelling it all day, and it smells so chemical. You think that's just so far from natural. And I think, like many carnivores will find anyway, that you don't actually need deodorant and perfume when you're on a carnivore diet anyway, because you just don't smell. But again, going back to animals, they don't need perfume and aftershave to attract their mates. Like, it's just natural pheromones, natural smells that we must give off that we probably can't smell ourselves. But we don't need all these perfumes and aftershaves and things. And I've just found that to be really helpful. And also, like the household cleaning products, like putting bleach down the toilet, it's so bad. And I've swapped to natural things. I just use white vinegar and bicarb for quite a lot of my cleaning products. And I just, if I want a bit of a smell, I'll just put essential oils in, like a bit of peppermint essential oil or something. And that does exactly the same job as a chemical would. And you haven't got any of the nasty chemicals, and you're not breathing any of it in. So I would definitely recommend that you could just limit your toxin and your chemical load as much as you possibly can. I'm quite aware that there are things in life that we can't avoid. Just stepping outside, you're going to breathe in fumes and toxins through the air, which we just can't avoid. But I think the less load that we can make it, the better. And yeah, I that would be my one thing that I would really recommend. I just think anything that gets you closer back to nature, the better.
Yeah. The last interview I did was Dr. Lisa Wiedemann, and she is a huge proponent of not getting blue light screen, stuff like that, in your eyes before night. She's got little lights and candles and stuff she does at night. And she was talking about, there's actually a lot of evidence when you're looking at screens over and over again, not just affecting your circadian rhythm, but also other issues, just like dumbing you down, basically. She's getting into that more, but I'm with you on all the skin stuff too. It seems like all of that changed for me on carnivore. I'll get some people that'll say to me though, they're like, well, why don't you just go move and live out in the woods then? Like, when are you going to stop? And I'm like, a couple of years ago, I did a thing where I went just camping in the woods with no tent, just under the stars. And I'm like, we should have like a carnivore retreat or something like that, because I'd be all for it. That's my only other. Yeah.
That'd be so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a week or something, just completely natural for a week. Because even in the house, it's like you got the heating system or air conditioner or whatever, and you're rebreathing air, and then you worry about mold and toxins in the air. And there's so much, but like you said, we got to do the best we can. The chemicals, I think, is great advice, because it's crazy nowadays. And my daughter Emma was talking about this before. I think it's like 80% of what you put on your skin ends up in your bloodstream, some crazy number like that. suntan lotion with all those chemicals just goes right in your bloodstream. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
When I look at it now, I just think, God, all what I used to put on my skin, you can't believe it, really. And I just, well, again, I'm just grateful that now I know not to do that. Right. And that, like I said, if I won't ingest it, I won't put it on my skin. So all the moisturizers and that I make are just literally beef tallow and coconut oil. So if I had to, I would eat that. So yep. I'm fine with putting that on my skin.
That made me laugh as well. So much of what you said is just crazy. My daughter Emma, she's got some skincare stuff she does. It's tallow. And she was just filming something like 2 days ago. And she's like, look, I can just eat my skincare stuff. And she literally ate it. She's like, yeah. It's completely natural. And she's like, that's the only thing I'll put on my body is if I can eat it. Because it's a natural kind of thing. So you've gone a little bit of a step further, and I have as well, in terms of after carnivore, well, even before carnivore, I did a little bit of fasting. Can we talk a little bit about fasting now? Because you've done some really interesting things in regards to fasting.
Yeah, sure. I sort of came naturally interested in fasting anyway during carnivore, a bit like, I think it goes through that, where you naturally fall into a fasted state because you're not eating so often. I typically eat twice a day. And I know lots of people only do like one meal a day. So they're naturally doing like a 24-hour fast. And I sort of fell into the pattern of naturally fasting 16 to 18 hours intermittently. Anyway, I got sort of like a deal. I just get an interest in something and I go and do some research, and I was researching water fasting. And last year I decided that I was going to do a 5-day water fast, and I got 3 days in and had to break because I just felt awful. I felt I think it must have been an electrolyte imbalance. I don't think I was having enough electrolytes whilst I was fasting. I got out of bed one morning on the third day and I just nearly fell to the floor. I was so dizzy. I was sort of having rapid heart palpitations. I felt a bit sick. And I've got a good friend in Australia. He's carnivore, and he's kind of like my doctor. I messaged him and I said, what do you think I should do? And he said, oh, definitely break the fast. So I broke it. So I did 3 days. But I didn't quite make the 5. But I wanted to do the 5 because I'd read on the like many benefits of the healing and all of that. And I honestly can't even say how I came across it now. But I, after going down the water fasting route, I then found something called dry fasting, which was no food and no water. And again, something I'd never even heard of. Didn't even know that was a thing. And I decided that I was just going to try that do a 24-hour. I think it was have you heard of Dr. Mindy Pels?
Yeah.
She's like the fasting queen. She's brilliant. And I think she was saying to do a dry fast once a week. So I thought, I'll try a 24-hour dry fast. So I did a 24-hour and I was so surprised at how easy it was. It was so easy. Because I'd done plenty of 24-hour water fast, and I actually find during a water fast I'm really hungry all the time. I've constantly got these pangs that I've just got to push through. And I did this 24-hour dry fast and I thought, I haven't been hungry or thirsty all day. And I was just astonished. I couldn't really believe it. I thought, I can't actually believe that I've gone 24 hours, and I could have gone longer. It came time to break and I thought, I could even carry on. It's so easy. So anyway, I was doing a 24-hour dry fast once a week. And then I thought I was going to push it and do a little longer. So August last year, I did a 3-day dry fast. And I think that was still under the recommendation of Dr. Mindy Pels, I think. So I did this 3-day. And again, I was just so surprised on how easy it was, because I'd always been under the impression that I like live by the 3-3-3 rule, that you can't have 3 minutes without oxygen, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food. But I had complete faith in it. I wouldn't embark on it if I thought I was going to die. So I had complete faith that you can do a 3-day water fast and you dry fast and you're fine. So back in August, I did a 3-day dry fast and it was so easy. And I said to my husband, on the third day, I went out, I was working on the farm and he was across one end of the yard and I was the other. And I shouted and I said, do I look like somebody who's been 3 days without food and water? And I had all this energy and I was like, I should, like, from what I've seen on films and from what we've been told, I should be like a shriveled up ball, like waiting to die. And I was just full of energy. And it was honestly so easy. So I did that. And then I'm not, I honestly don't know how I found him, but I came across Dr. August Dunning and I came across him on YouTube. I don't know how I came across him. But he had some really interesting stuff to say on dry fasting. And I was following him and then I went on a bit of a binge on all of his videos. And he also wrote a book, The Phoenix Protocol. And so I ordered that and I did a bit of reading. And he just basically explains how dry fasting is a therapeutic, how like Russia, I think Russians, Russian doctors used it as a therapeutic thing to help people heal. And by stopping all food and all liquid completely, puts your body or completely stops the digestive tract and just puts your body into a super healing state and you go into such a deep level of autophagy. Honestly, if you haven't got the book, The Phoenix Protocol is really worth a read. I know you've read it. I got you on it.
I devoured it. Yeah, it was so good. Yeah.
It's so interesting and I can't do it justice. I can't explain and do it justice, but read the book and it's almost mind blowing. It's another like moment, isn't it? It's like, wow, like these Russian doctors have been using this for years and years, like to heal chronic diseases. People have cured stage 4 cancers. People have cured, like they've in the book, haven't they? They've got lists of everything that people cured through dry fasting.
Right. I was just going to say, that's why I encourage people, if you think what Lauren and I are talking about here is crazy, go read the book and do some research. Because it's like you said, that was incredible to me. This isn't like someone's just saying, oh, try dry fasting. Thousands and thousands of people in like a medical setting in Russia, incredible healing. It's all documented. Some of it's just so crazy. The other thing in the book that really blew my mind was the fact that humans have the ability to produce water internally. Like, I think it's through ATP or something, but it was saying in the book that they measured the urine output and on day like 4, 5, 6, 7, more output without drinking anything. When I read that, I'm like, that's incredible. That's just like, how's he? Because just like you, I'm like, you're going to die in 3 days. That's all I've heard. You see it in all the movies. You're going to just die, but it's not true.
No, I would definitely say read the book because it's absolutely mind blowing. And they've used it now for thousands and thousands of years. And I really like the saying by Hippocrates that he said that sometimes doing nothing is the best remedy. And so supposedly when we're water fasting, we're not having any food, but we're still having water and water still can feed parasites and can still feed old viruses. Viruses, parasites all still need water to stay alive. The moment that you stop putting water in, all these things can die off. So yes, I can attest for that. So I am proof that you can go a lot longer than 3 days without water. And honestly, the stuff that they say in the book is all so true. And I'm so excited to share it with you, like personally, because we've been talking about it. And I don't know if you remember the part in the book, it's Dr. Shenikov, and they give you the 11-day dry fast, the breakdown of what happens on day 1, 2, day 3, day 4, day 5. So every single day I was referring to that. I think every single day during my dry fast, I read that book from front to finish because I was just so fascinated by what my body was doing. And this time, though, I got 36 hours in and I woke up and I thought, I'm going to be sick. I felt so nauseous and I felt so ill. And I ran to the toilet and I was just dry retching because I had nothing to bring up. Eventually, I did manage to bring up some bile. And I went back to bed because I felt a bit better after I'd done that. And I went back to bed. This is quite early in the morning. And then I got up and sort of walking around a bit. And I thought, I'm going to be sick again. So I refer to my book. I did go to the bathroom and I brought up a bit of bile. And I referred to the book and it did say in there that nausea can happen and it's a process of purification. So anything that's in your body that your body doesn't need in there is trying to get rid of, it's just bringing it up or pushing it out to get it out of your system. So I wasn't worried about it at all, because you could be like, oh, is this not right? I might break my fast. But I thought, I'm only 36 hours in. I had complete faith in everything that Dr. Dunning was saying in the book. And it was there, said nausea, and that is not to worry about it. It is a pure process of purification. And then later on that day, I had the best day and I felt absolutely fine. So that all completely went away. But as each day went on, I had something new. And what I found absolutely fascinating was in the book, it says during, I think they say day five, that you can start getting pain in your organs and different areas of your body that your body needs to heal. So if you've had old injury, if you've had an old break or a ligament damage or anything like that, you can get pain in that area where your body has gone to that area and started to fix it. Well, I think about day three, I woke up and I had pain in my appendix. And I was like, oh, I've got pain in the right side of my abdomen. But at the time, I didn't realize. I thought, why have I got pain down there? And as the day went on, I thought, that's my appendix site. And I thought, that is my body. Because obviously 2 years ago, I had my appendix taken out because Dr. Dunning says that your body will also go and heal scar tissue and things like that. And that was my body going to the site of my appendix and healing the scar tissue. So I had that sort of like a dull ache probably for half a day on day three. Another day I had a slight sort of dull ache in my shoulder. So these pains were like moving around my body, but I don't know. I get a bit excited talking about it, but not that I want the symptoms, but I almost liked having them because I knew which part of my body was healing. So I'm like, oh, it's sort of gone for my arthritis in my shoulder now. It's gone for this point. It's gone for my appendix. And also in the book as well, with the urine output, I can absolutely attest for the fact that your body makes water, because I've actually documented it all. I'm going to put it on my channel. I've documented my whole dry fast and I've done urine output and everything so that you can see what urine output I had in the day during the 7 days. But throughout the 7 days of the dry fast, I was having at least 500 mils of urine every single day. Some days even more than that. I think the most I had one day was 900 mils. It's quite gross because I literally was weeing in a jug, but that was the only way that I could sort of do it to show people how much urine I was still producing, even though I'd been without water for, you know, all this time whilst I'm on the dry fast. So I think the most I produced was about 900 millilitres, which is quite a lot for somebody who hasn't had any food or drink. And I think the least was about 400 millilitres. But anyway, as the dry fast went on, and as Dr. August states in his book, throughout the, I think from about day six, my urine, I had I think they describe it as slag in the book, where it's just all this like sludge, like orange sludgy stuff. And I had like my urine in the jug and they said to leave it to stand for 24 hours, which I did. And honestly, the orange sludgy stuff that was in there was unbelievable. But again, I love that. I love looking at that because I'm like, wow, that is supposedly Dr. August says that all of that orange sludgy stuff is all toxins from the cells that have been completely detoxified, and it either comes out in your stool or in your urine. And honestly, from day, I think it was day six, it'll all be in my video anyway. But I think from day six, I was having this orange sludgy stuff, and I'm just like, this is incredible. I can physically see what my body is pushing out and what I am getting rid of. And it honestly just absolutely fascinating. I'm so glad I did it. Day seven, it got to day seven and I was ready to break though. So the morning of day seven, I woke up and I felt a little bit dizzy, which I hadn't felt at all. And so obviously, like, I was on the edge of caution at this point. Like, if I needed to break it, I was going to break it. So that morning I did go down and I had my first sip of water, and I'll tell you something else as well. It really makes you appreciate just water. So I feel like, so I've explained to you before, but sometimes with the carnivore diet, sometimes I struggle in social situations when everybody else is doing it. Not that I want to do it, but sometimes I feel like I'm the odd one out, that I'm not eating like them, or I don't feel included, or, you know, I don't get invited to things because I eat differently and things like that. So that's the only side that I do struggle with carnivore is socially, because I don't actually know anybody who lives near me who is a carnivore. So I am kind of like the only one. And sometimes I sort of go into this thinking of like, oh, you know, I'm only eating meat and I'm only eating water. I'm only drinking water. I don't have like tea, coffee or any other fancy drink. But this, I really needed this to happen, because this really made me so, so grateful to even just have water. And when I broke that fast with just water, honestly, I could have cried. I was just so grateful for just that water. And every glass of water that I've had since I broke my fast last week, I just say thank you. I say thank you for this water that I'm about to receive, because I am it. Yeah, I can't explain it, but I really needed that to put me in a place to just be so grateful that I'm drinking water, and so grateful that I'm only eating meat, because that's just the most, I'm giving my body the most nutritious thing that I can. And to be able to actually eat that every day and to drink clean, fresh water every day is just such a blessing. And this, that 7-day dry fast has really brought that home to me. And I felt like I really needed that. So I'm so glad. So just even just for plain water now, I'm just so, so grateful. Honestly, that first sip, I just could have cried. It was amazing.
That's incredible. Congratulations too. 7 days. So you've done a couple leading up to that. I did a 3-day, just shy of 3 days. I was a couple hours shy of 3 days dry fast, and I'm doing more. Like, I felt so good doing it. And like, I'm so happy for you, because I'm just thinking, like, you probably extended your life by a couple of years. Like, who knows, getting rid of those toxins, healing those things in your body that you were already doing great on carnivore and feeling better, but just those things like that. And we barely scratched the surface. I think there's a lot more to learn on gut microbiome, gut bacteria, but what you did for your gut in that 7 days is probably incredible. Probably got rid of things that were in there for like years and years and years that are gone forever now. It's almost like you're back to like when you were a baby or born or something, just pristine gut health.
Yeah. I think like viruses, that they all lay dormant in our guts, like old viruses, parasites, all these different things that apparently only dry fasting can get rid of, because they're just constantly being kept alive with the water. But no, I'm so glad that I've done it, and I definitely will. As you know, in the book, book, Dr. August Dunning, he advocates to do it once a year, because along an extended dry fast, you don't want to be doing a lot. You can do 3 days and 24 hours or 48 hours a lot more regular. But there's not really any need. If you do a longer dry fast, so now I've just done my 7 day. Next year, I will now either do another 7 day or another 5 day. I do feel like, though, and I have seen a couple comments on his videos about this, I do feel like if you go into the fast from carnivore, which I obviously did, I was already in ketosis, I think that I was actually a couple days ahead. So I think really I probably kind of did a 9 day, like had the same benefits as a 9 day. And the only reason I think that is because I had nausea in the 36th hour, and that doesn't usually come till day four, and I had that early. And then also all this slag and this orange sludge that was coming out in my toxin, in my urine, that doesn't usually come on until day 8 to 11. And I had this on day 6. So I think I was about a couple days ahead because I was already in ketosis. So somebody going into a dry fast, not in ketosis, will take 2 or 3 days to hit ketosis, whereas I was already in ketosis straight from hour one.
Quick interruption. Thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about our documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, or supporting it, please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. Our goal is to reach millions of people that are hopeless right now, and sharing the examples of real people over the course of 1 year that are undertaking a proper human diet to overcome obesity, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, fertility issues. We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so much. We are also selling these shirts, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. Every penny we get from those goes towards the documentary. And last, we have memberships. If you click the little join button, it's best to do it on desktop. Under any one of my YouTube videos, you can join and become a member. We have hundreds of members right now. We do members only videos. We do members only behind the scenes. You can email me as a member and I'll answer you. And every penny from that goes to support the documentary. And the last thing is, we have these Redmond's portable salt shakers. These things are awesome. You can get the best salt. You can take it with you. We sell these on the website along with our water bottles and cutting boards, and every penny from all of those goes 100% towards supporting the documentary. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which is completely free. All of these links are in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to today's video.
So I think I had 2 or 3 days ahead of what everybody else would. So I think really I probably like had the same benefit as a 9 or 10 day dry fast.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's also nice too, because I remember fasting throughout the years before I ever found carnivore, and it was so hard because you got to get through the keto flu or whatever. It's just the miserable the first couple of days trying to get fat adapted and get into ketosis.
Another reason I really wanted to try the dry fast was because I heard lots of people's testimonies on how it can affect you spiritually as well. So I was really intrigued if I would like level up spiritually or what would happen to me. I don't know if you've heard like lots of people say, but lots of people say fasting and prayer together, it's like magical. And like lots of people, like Dante Frigno Freedom, he does fasting for spiritual reasons. He likes the spiritual aspect of fasting. And I must say, I got to day 5 and I was feeling really fatigued that day. And I went outside, I thought I'm just gonna go and sit outside on the bench. It was a lovely sunny day. And I just had this pure bliss moment, which I hadn't really experienced before. And again, it's so hard to explain to somebody, but I was sat on the bench and the sun was just shining down on my face, and I had my headphones in. I like to listen to piano music. I love the piano. and I was listening to some music, and there was kind of like a soft breeze, and I just felt like all of my senses were completely heightened. So I was just sort of sat on the bench with my eyes shut, face up into the sun, and I just had this moment of pure bliss where, and again, gratitude. I just think of just grateful of just the feeling of the sun on my face and like just the feel of the breeze on my skin, like just really simple things that I just had such a blissful moment. And I think that I don't think I would have had that moment without fasting. So yeah, it's incredible, really. I just think there's a lot we don't know about.
Absolutely. It's interesting, like everything we're talking about is kind of returning to natural. Even people think, oh, dry fasting, that's crazy. I'm sure there were many times throughout history we didn't have access to water, droughts, food, where we'd go a couple of days and not eat. Even the other things you're talking about, like I was just thinking about this more, the being fearless and not fearing death, talking about other species or other animals. I don't think any other species or animal is walking around in constant fear of death or anxiety like we are. So it's like everything that you're doing or advocating for is just returning to what is natural for humans. And it's amazing what happens when you do that. That's so cool. You went 7 days. I got to plan mine. I want to do it too. I was, the 3 days was incredible, but I feel like I didn't reap the true benefits if I go a little bit longer, but I'm glad I did it too, because like you've done several 1 day ones. This was my first dry fast. So I want to baby step into it, but just to be clear for everyone listening, this isn't us issuing a challenge, go dry fast, but I think there's incredible benefits to it. And if you're interested in it, read the book, do your own research, make your own decision. I talked about my dry fast the other day and it was crazy. People were like, what are you doing? You're going to die. You're nuts. It was, the reaction was like over the top. I'm like, relax. This has been done for thousands of years by all sorts of cultures. It's not that crazy.
Yeah. But the thing is, like they do in the, like, if you read the book, I think that's the main thing. You read the book because the book's absolutely brilliant. But I think, yeah, I think it's very wise to do baby steps. So start with a 24, then a 48, and then go on to a 3 day. I did the 3 day and I found that really easy. You don't want to overdo it. But I think definitely you want to ease yourself into it and don't just jump straight in. But I really do believe that it's really beneficial. And like I say, I absolutely love like the physical results of feeling the parts that your body is healing and physical evidence of seeing what is coming out. And I just think it's brilliant. I think it's really beneficial. And Dr. August Dunning, his idea is that if you do a prolonged fast, so I've just done a 7 day now, so that you do that once, and then that's long enough to get rid of all of your lifetime history of toxins and all the stuff you've accumulated. And then from every year thereafter, you can either do another 7 day or even a 5 day, and that will just be enough to get rid of, because then you've only got to get rid of the toxins that you've accumulated in that year. So that's just enough to get rid of what you've accumulated. And he says the more you do, the less stuff you'll see coming out, because you've got less and less to detoxify. So they should get easier as they go along. But definitely, if you're going to go for a dry fast, the one thing I would 100% say is you need to take time. It is not something you can just say, oh, I'm going to do a 7 day dry fast tomorrow. I had to take 2 whole weeks where I'm not working, and I literally just was at home and rested, because you cannot do anything physical, and you don't want to stress out your body. You just want to, it is a time for resting and relaxing and just letting your body heal and go to work and do what it's got to do. And so you need a whole week for that. And then you also need a whole week for the refeed. So last week I did exactly the same. I just spent a lot of it relaxing, resting. And actually, Dr. Dunning reckons that the week after the refeed is way more important than the fast itself, because that's when your stem cells are doing all the work and they're rebuilding, you're refeeding and they're rebuilding. And so you feel like you've got a lot of energy, which you do. You have this surge of energy, but you've got to consciously rein it in and tell yourself to rest because your body is still rebuilding stem cells. So you definitely need to take 2 weeks where you have got nothing to do. The only thing that I did during my dry fast was take and pick up the children from school, and that was the most activity that I would do in a day. But it is definitely not something that you can just say, I'm going to do a dry fast tomorrow and just jump in. Like, you have to plan it.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you're sharing this. I'm so glad you told me about it. The one thing that I really think about is if I had a family member or loved one and they were suffering from some horrible health issue, without a doubt, I'd be like, dry fast. Ease into it, like you said. But the amount of healing that's documented in that book for different types of health issues is absolutely incredible. And it gets into the science and the reasons behind it. So that's incredible. I'm excited to do my longer one next. So people can learn more at your YouTube channel. You're going to be posting a video, or have you posted it yet? Or you're going to be posting it?
No, I haven't yet. I've just got the final touches to edit on it. But I've documented my whole fast. So from day one to day seven, and I just did a brief update of how I felt that day, where the pain was that day. And then every day I did a weigh-in, because I obviously lost a lot of weight, and I not that I was doing it for weight loss, because I didn't need to lose weight, but you obviously naturally lose weight going on a dry fast. So I started at 9 stone 11. I don't know what that is in pounds. Sorry. And I ended the fast and I was 8 stone 9. So I lost a stone and 2 pounds during, which is, I know that's 16 pounds. So I lost 16 pounds during the whole week. And then as soon as I started refeeding again, you start gaining about 5 to 6 pounds of water weight. So I went back up again. And so now I'm now a week post fast and I am now 9 stone. So I've still lost some weight. So I just wanted to document the weight every day as well, so that people that are doing it for weight loss can see how much that you can lose within that week. And then I also did a urine output for every day so that people could see how your body makes water, because I just find that fascinating that you haven't eaten or drank anything and you're still going to the toilet throughout the day. It's just like, where's that coming from?
Yeah.
So it just proves that your body makes the water that it needs. I documented it from day one to day seven. And yeah, I'll be posting that sometime this week.
That's great. I'll have a link in the description.
I don't know what response I'm going to get from that.
Yeah. Well, hey, who cares? It's going to help a lot of people. It's good stuff. So I'll have a link in the description for Lauren's YouTube channel, Farmer's Wife, Farming Life. And maybe we can end it with this. I just wanted to mention real quick, I did a live stream with Dr. Kiltz earlier. I know you're a big fan.
I love Kiltz.
I was bragging on you because he asked me about fasting. I was like, don't ask me about fasting. You got to talk to Lauren. He would love to have you on his channel if you're interested. Go on one of his live streams or something. He said he'd love to have you. I think he's going to reach out to you. So,
yeah, I speak to him on WhatsApp, actually. So I spoke to him on WhatsApp because I do ask him for his advice on a lot of things, because when I was on my fast, I was like, how do I – because in the book they tell you how to break a fast, but it's not carnivore.
Right.
So I did message him and I'm like, Dr. Kiltz, how do I break my dry fast on carnivore? So he did help me a little bit with that, which I'm very grateful for. So yeah, no, I'm in contact with him. So
that's great.
Yeah.
To end this, one last question. So the big book that we talked about is The Phoenix Protocol by August Dunning, which is incredible. If you had a recommendation for another book for people that want to transcend or next level up after carnivore, do you have a good recommendation?
Oh, I've got a whole list. So I've actually got some here. This I would say is just the one book that everybody should read.
The Secret.
Have you got that one?
I don't have that one. I got to add it to my list. I have like 6 or 7 books after hanging out with you and Dr. Kiltz.
Get this one. And so far, this is my number one. I think everybody needs to read that.
Awesome. I'm going to get it.
And then also we have our great friend, Dr. Kiltz. That's a brilliant book.
Yes, I have that one.
And I love... I love how he talks about everything. So he talks about meditation. He talks about spirituality. He talks about what we should eat. He just covers everything and literally how to live your best life. And it's brilliant. So, yeah, I definitely would recommend that one. And then just so I have got the Phoenix Protocol here, just so that people can see, that's what it looks like.
There we go. Yeah, it's I'm like, I'm just going to read a little bit. And I read the whole thing. It's so good. It's hard to put down.
It is. Yeah, I read it from front to back every single day of my drive fast.
Nice.
And I spent my whole drive fast just watching videos from August Dunning. I think it just got me through it. And it's like, it's just reassuring you the whole time that you read in all these things from like comments from people saying how wonderful it's been for them. And it really keeps you going.
Right. Well, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much, Lauren. I will have links in the description for each of those books and Lauren's YouTube channel. So go check it out. Check out her 7-day fast. I'm going to be watching. Thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate it.
That's okay. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye.